Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet and give him some glory. Let us stand to our feet and give him some glory. Let us stand to our feet and give him some glory. Let us stand to our feet and give him some praise. Had that been for the Lord, we wouldn't even be here today. He gave us a free gift. The gift was called life. He's a lifter. He's a lifter. When you're feeling discouraged, he's a lifter. When you're feeling bound, he's a lifter. When you're feeling rejected, he's a lifter. When you feel like things ain't going your way, he's still a lifter. Things ain't working out the way you thought it was, but he's still a lifter. He don't stop being a lifter because of circumstances. He don't never take a day off of being a lifter. Even if something didn't go your way this morning, he's still a lifter. In fact, I almost believe that he would allow certain things not to go your way so he can show you he is a lifter. Because as long as everything goes the way it's supposed to go, then you would never see him being a lifter to your life personally. That's how he showed himself very strong in our lives, because he knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses. He said, in fact, we're nothing but like dust. Because he knows how much we can take. In other words, dust is our flesh. Our dust is only here for a certain period of time. We on borrowed time right now. Let me just go ahead and go in this different direction here. I said, we on borrowed time. We on borrowed time. You got to understand what this word means, borrowed. In other words, it ain't given. I'm lending it to you. So the time frame we have left, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to maximize it or are you going to minimize it? And so if we're not maximizing it, certainly we are minimizing it. So he gave us all of a time frame on how much time we have. Matter of fact, we don't even know how much time we do have. I think we move like we privileged, like tomorrow is promised to us. Tomorrow's not. Tonight is not promised to you. In fact, this could be your very last Sunday. Don't even know it. If I can be honest and be truthful, we have to be really real about where things are now, because we think that tomorrow is guaranteed to us. I'm not even going to say it is that if it's somebody that you have not forgiven, this is your time to forgive. Watch this now. You can't wait till you call the person and tell them personally that you forgive them. You got to do it now. Because if I wait till I get to you, it might be too late. Because there's a lot of things in between me now and getting to you later. Because certain things can be put off to another time. Because we have this, we procrastinators by fault. We always put things off to tomorrow, thinking that tomorrow is guaranteed. But we are just dust, man. Understand that this carnal side that we have is dust. It has to go back to its rightful place. We're only here for a moment. And Jesus says, I'll come like in the twinkle of an eye. When you're not even ready for it, I'm coming. Because that's who Jesus is. He's coming with like a thief in the night, according to Thessalonians. We don't know the time frame he's coming. It behooves us to get our house right. And I don't mean our house. I mean our house. The temple. It behooves us to get this right. Come clean. Get your hands right. Forgive people. Don't hold people in bondage. Because the Lord says, if you don't forgive, then I can't forgive you. I don't know about you, but my heart is a little bit heavy this morning. And I don't know, it's just different things that's going on. And but the truth of the matter is, you know, we take losses often. We all have shared losses one way or the other. And some of our losses are still, it's still sore right now. Our losses are still sore. It's sore. We feel in certain agony and certain pain that we haven't released. We carry an unnecessary bondage. They don't belong to you. This flesh is dust. How much you think you can carry? Dust gets blown away, tossed and fro by any wind. So then you know our frame, how much we can take. That's why God says, I know how much you can bear. That's why I'm a lifter to your souls. I'm a lifter. I'm a lifter. I'm a lifter, man. We ain't giving it to him. I'm a lifter to, man, God Almighty. I'm a lifter. Amen. To your soul, man. We walking around with book bags on our back. We walking around with heavy weights on our back. And we crunched over because of the weight of the world. And if you have a heart for Jesus, you're going to feel other people's weight just because you care so much and so deeply. If you got any heart, if you got any heart of Christ in you, you're going to care by default. Oh, my God. He's a lifter, man. He's a lifter. He's a lifter. He's a lifter, man. Thank you. You know, we took another loss a couple of days ago. My previous pastor, who one taught me this word, exposed me to this word. He succumbed. He succumbed to death 3 days ago. And of course, you start reflecting. You start reflecting on life. Because I remember, y'all can take your seats. I remember when we started the church long, long time ago, 2003. I remember telling him, the Lord has called me. And he explained to me what that means. But prior to that calling, he used to always tell me, you got something on your life. More than just a trustee, which I was serving in that capacity. And he said, you got more on you. But I didn't know what that means. He said, you'll find out soon enough. He didn't explain to me what that was. But he said, you got a calling on you. The same way he saw in me is the same thing I see in you guys. I see potential. But even when I didn't see the potential in myself, somebody came along and saw the potential in me. He was the same one that says, I want you to be able to numerize Genesis to Revelation in order. I told him, there's no way in the world I could do that. Yes, you can. When somebody tell you could do something that you said you cannot do, obviously you could do it. And so then the word came to me this morning that the Lord says, we ain't nothing but dust. Be only here for a moment of time. Time frame. Our time frame is, the clock is ticking. Some of us ain't going to even make it to Social Security because the time is clicking. And it's not to put fear in you, but it's to evaluate and examine your heart or where you are, how you approach in life. When you get up in the morning, what is the first thing you're thinking? Did you go to bed the night before upset? Did you have any unforgiveness towards your spouse or a relationship or a significant other? What they did won't justify you keeping you from hell. There's nothing they can do to keep you from hell. Because all sin got to be forgiven. Man, I mean, I tell you, man. And so I started to think about over the time frame, how did we get here? And God just revealed to me, took me back to Genesis. Time only came into existence because man fell short. That's when we became dust. We were already dust, but we got demoted because of disobedience. And so time came into existence. So men, at that point, once man fell, time came into play. So what it was is that we have not, we have a certain period of time to get this right. We got to fix it now. Whatever's on your heart, you got to fix it now. Whatever, oh man, let me go ahead and get this way. Whatever demons that's troubling you now, it's time to get delivered now. Because there's some things in you that you know you ain't rocking well. And you know, you can't justify behaviors. That's what we're doing. We justifying our behaviors. We justifying attitudes. We justify the things we say that's inappropriate. We justify it. For whatever reason that you summed it up in your mind that this is okay. It's justified because they stole from you. I got a right to steal back. Come on, man. They took from me, so I got a right to take it back. If it was taken from you, obviously the Lord said it was never yours in the first place. I don't care if you purchased it with your money. It wasn't yours in the first place because you wasn't directed to do it in the first place. So if it was stolen from you, it wasn't yours. You can't take nothing that belongs to me. You can't take anything from me that's assigned to me. You can't take nothing from me that my name was already written. If my name is on it, then that's mine. You can't take nothing from me that belongs to me. Can't. It's nearly impossible to take something. Can't take something that was never yours. It was never Adam's and Eve's to eat the fruit of the garden. It was never theirs. They stole something that was never theirs. And this is the result of taking something that don't belong to you. So murder wasn't the first sin. I believe stealing was. Because they took something that wasn't it wasn't theirs. The Lord gave them everything they need in the garden. Anything he told them outside of it is you don't have license for. You don't have permission. We putting our fingertips to certain things that ain't ours. It ain't ours. It ain't ours. We on borrowed time. This life ain't ours. I'm giving it to you. It's borrowed. Take it. When we get up in the morning, we have to ask God, how can I maximize this day? Because I've been minimizing too long. I've been minimizing too long. I've been falling short too long. I've been exaggerating too long. I've been being false witness too long. I've been putting my mouth on people too long. I've been stealing from people too long. You're trying to make ends meet. Oh, God. Oh, help us, Holy Spirit. Help us here. Help us. Help us. Help us. I'm telling you, we in a time where you better get it right now. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this word tonight. To this day, I thank you, Lord. I appreciate this word. Holy Spirit, I thank you for canvassing now. You already been moving. I'm just in agreement with what you want to do. Lord, whomever you want to save, whomever you desire to call out from darkness to your marvelous light, God, go ahead, God. I'm in the flow with you. I thank you for crushing the enemy's head today, making him out to be a liar. There's no truth in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I think the Lord just wanted me to remind us of the time frame we do have. And I know our hearts is hurting. And there's some people, just hearts is hurting just because life has beat you up so bad. And you almost got to the point that, is there a God? Is he real? Because if he's real, then why would he allow this to happen to me? Why? Why would he allow me to go through this pain and agony and frustration? Why did he let me deal? Why did he give me this hand to deal? It's unfair, God. It's unfair the way I feel like you treated me. And the Lord says, here's a sample size of what's unfair. I went to the cross and I died for you. I was hung up for you. I was talked about for you. I was arrested for you. I was brought to a courtroom setting illegally for you. I paid tickets for you. That was unfair. So whatever you're going through is nowhere compared to what he went through. He gave us a sample size, and that's not even a quite, I shouldn't even say, I'm minimizing that, because when you look at the movie of the crucifixion, you're looking at this like, oh my God, you really dealt with that? For what he went through in 11 hours, some people couldn't take for a lifetime. The torture. I know we're not in Resurrection Sunday yet, but I mean, to me, every day should be resurrection. We should be delivered every day. We ain't waiting for 12 months to be resurrected from something. Amen. That was in the Old Testament. They went yearly. They had to wait for their sins to be forgiven yearly. And the priest's job was to take it behind the veil. And if the priest didn't make it, if you didn't hear the bells, that means he was done because his sin wasn't right. But the Lord says, I'm the great high priest. You don't need to go into a confession box. I am. God Almighty, I don't have to wait till tomorrow to get saved. I can do it today. I don't have to wait for my sins to be forgiven 365 days from today. I can get saved today and get free today. That's the gift he gave me because someone died and sacrificed for my life. So now I have somebody to know that somebody do care about me. Even if your own mama and your own daddy turned their back on you, you have a savior to look up to. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Even we have no excuses now. So I said, okay, your mother and father didn't work out. Let me throw a pasta at you. So in other words, he leaves you no excuses that you can't get this life right. Man, let me turn here to Matthew. I just had to give y'all some of those things. I don't know. And as the way the Holy Spirit leads me, sometimes we need those little nuggets to remind us that life is priceless. Yes. Let's turn to Matthew. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 15. God bless you all. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there. If you have it, just say amen. Amen. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me drop down to verse 27. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which falls from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is your faith. Now, this is very interesting. Because Jesus went 50 miles outside of the northeast of Capernaum to be in this location, in an isolate location where he didn't have to be bothered by anybody asking him for certain things. Because usually when you give out so much and so much and so much, you don't have nothing left to give. And so he departed out of the region with the hopes that no one even noticed him. But let me tell you something. When you got the light of God on you, you cannot be hidden. No matter where you go, you cannot be hidden. God is always going to find a way to use you. When you're at a place where you think you're going to get some rest, the Lord says, no. No rest here either. Yeah, you might think you're going into a seclusion, but I even have a place and a purpose and a thing that's going to meet you right at your seclusion. And so Jesus decided that this was going to be a particular time that he could get his disciples around him, maybe impart in them, maybe get with them, encourage them, get away from the crowd, get away from the miracles, get away from the healing, get away from the signs, get away from the wonders, get away from feeding the two fishes and the five loaves. Let me just get away from my norm. Let me get to a place where I'm in a remote location where I'm not going to be noticed. So let me go 50 miles northeast of Capernaum, which means it was outside of the region, outside of familiar territory. Let me go somewhere where I can get before the daddy, get before my father, and let him download some things in me so I can get ready for my next assignment. And so here's this woman. This was her region, not Christ's region. So here's the thing. He went a distance to go to a remote location to meet somebody who was going to be from there, who had need of him. Now, say what you want. He's God. He's 100% man as well. I'm not quite sure, was that the period of time that he thought he was going to get some rest? Because there were some occasions where he would go to the mountain, but he didn't go to the mountain. He went another direction. And so when he get there, this woman had a certain young lady, her baby was possessed with demon. In fact, in other words, was unclean spirit. And so she must have knew he was there. How? The Bible says, and Mark has the same kind of story, but Mark says his was in the house. So obviously the fame got out that Jesus was on the main line. Oh, man. And so she decided that I'm going to meet this Savior because I'm in desperate need of my child. It's one thing when you're coming for yourself, but it's another thing when you're coming on behalf of someone else. So this parent, she cared so much for her young child to make sure her young child don't stay in this predicament that they're in. Realizing and understanding, if you go 50 miles, I got to come see you. Because the chances are slim to none. Man, oh God Almighty. Sometimes we got to go a little further to get what we want. But see, it wasn't like she traveled, he traveled. Oh, man. But if you notice, he went all the way, 50 miles outside of the region. And when she cried out to him, what did the Bible say? He ignored her. Some of the same things that we do. When we pray to God, he ignores us. We don't hear no answers. So we assume he's forgotten about us, or he assumed that he turned his back on us. But then it just kind of conflicts scriptures when he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what happens is when we get that text, but then he doesn't answer your prayer that you have a need of, that need was a miracle. It wasn't just no ordinary need. That need was so dire. I need this now. My child is demon possessed. She has an unclean spirit. She cried out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Woo, child. Have mercy on me. And wasn't like she was coming for herself. She said, have mercy on me, but she was referring to my daughter. It's wonderful when you got somebody who can go out their way and begin to go on your behalf. What she was doing, she was representing an unclean child. How many people have gone out their way for you? When was the last time you've gone out your way for somebody else? Man, when? But this woman, yeah, it's a little conflict. That's her daughter. By all means, you got to do what you got to do for your child. But what happened was that the disciples told her, why is she crying out for us? If I'm understanding it, she said, Lord, Son of David, not Peter, James, John. And so when I started to think about it, why would they say that? Because Mark's translation tells me that they were eating. They were fellowshipping. And so look at the text that he used. He says, I'm not come here but the lost sheep of Israel. Which means that, see, this is what happens is with some pastors, they want to feed other sheep, but they don't want to feed their own. How would I be comfortable if I can go out all these places, but my people are starving? So what? So I can get fame and gleam? No, no. What I need to do is make sure that I'm raising my children right. So if I do go off, somebody can be able to stand on my behalf. Come on now. And so Jesus was like, I'm not here for you all. I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. Let's read this text here. He told her, he says, let's go to verse 22. He says, behold, the woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter severely a demon possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Ooh, God Almighty, almost feel harsh. It was almost like Jesus insulted her. You go out all the way outside of your region to insult an individual? And so what happens is Jesus' character was on the line for a second. Because I'm insulting you, and I know I'm insulting you. Because she also understood she was not privileged because she was not the original Israel. You look where she came from. She came from Tyre and Sidon, which means she was like a she was a Canaanite woman. She was a Phoenician woman. So they didn't have any dealings with the Jews. No kind of relationship at all, but she did respect who God was. It's an interesting because then there's another text where the woman, the man with the centurion servant, he wasn't the original. He was a Roman centurion, but he's asking Jesus, come to my house. Don't even come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word. And Jesus says, it's interesting that I found so great a faith, but no, not in the church. No, not in Israel. Most of it seemed like the greater faith took place for the people who was outside of the region. Which means they have more respect for God than the people in the church do. They have more faith. So this woman wasn't privileged and privy to the Boys and Girls Club. But her faith put her in certain spaces. Jesus, watch this, man. Your faith is going to put you in spaces that you don't really belong. It's going to put you in relationships that you shouldn't even have no connection to. Your faith is going to put you in safe spaces. It's going to put you before kings and queens. Your faith is going to take you to the next level, even when you and I don't deserve it. So the woman had a great need. It wasn't because she cried out that got Jesus' attention. He heard her, but if you notice, he ignored her. He cried out. She cried out. Listen. She cried out, O Lord, son of David. Go down to the text. You will find out he cried out, O woman, great is your faith. She cried out so bad it made him holler. Oh, Jesus. God Almighty. Look at the text here. He says, And behold, a woman, a Canaan, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me. You got to understand, she wasn't quiet. The volume wasn't on 2. The volume was on 10. When you cry now, how do you sound? And so she says, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You got to understand, you're not reading it the way it sounds. Oh, Lord, God Almighty, man. Oh, Lord, because when you're desperate, you'll come out of yourself. When you're desperate, makeup don't matter. My hairstyle don't matter. When you're desperate and you got to put faith on the line, I don't care what it looked like. And they're trying to shut her up. Just shut her up. They telling Jesus, shut her up. She crying for us. Wait a minute. Hold on, homie. You don't got that type of cred. She ain't calling you. She calling him. And this is what happens when you got leaders around the pastor. They start to take control. She want us. No, they don't want you, man. They want what's on Jesus right now. She don't care about your name. She want his name. Hallelujah.